Track 7, London Landmarks. One of the most popular Christmas traditions for young and old is a visit to the pantomime. Pantomime has a long theatrical history in Western culture, dating back to the era of classical theatre. And it developed partly from 16th century Commedia dell'arte tradition of Italy and other European and British stage traditions, such as 17th century masks and music hall. Oh yes, it did. Although not necessarily in the mainstream tradition of pantomime, the story of Peter Pan will be well known to most of you. Listen now to scientist Susan Greenfield as she tells us her memories of visiting the London parks as a child, and particularly her description of the Peter Pan statue in Kensington Gardens.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think of her.
Susan Greenfield, I'm a neuroscientist and I'm based at Oxford University, but I'm also a member of the House of Lords, and this means I come to London about one day a week. And I was born in London, in Chiswick, and I remember long Sunday afternoons. This was in the 50s when everything was closed, so you went to the park because it was cheap, and because it was something you could do on a Sunday. We'd go for walks, Hyde Park and Kensington Gardens, and sometimes sail toy boats on the Long Water or the Serpentine. I have a very strong memory of my little boat getting marooned one day, drifting out into the centre where no one could get at it. I was inconsolable. My dad often recalled this incident as an example of how we change as we grow up regarding what's important to us. There are many species of waterfowl on the Long Water. Tall herons with their pointed orange beaks and long black feathers hanging down their backs like pigtails. White gulls are very common, mallards as well, and little black coots with their vivid white foreheads. A line of squat wooden posts runs across the water, and you often get a gull on each one, all facing the same way, like a line of statues on plinths. Just here, on the grass by the side of the Long Water, is another memory, and it's my London landmark, the statue of Peter Pan. The statue is made of bronze and was sculpted by Sir George Frampton, RA. It was a gift from Sir James Barrie, the character's creator, and has been here since 1912. Just the other side of the path that runs past the water's edge, there's a semicircle of grass, fringed with trees and shrubs. In the centre, three concentric circles of broken stone paving create three steps up to the statue. Peter Pan, the boy who would not grow up, is standing on top of a tall tree stump, which I'll describe first. It's about 6 feet high and gnarled, with tangled roots at the base. Like the park around it, the stump teems with wildlife. Three mice poke their heads, sniffing out of a hollow. A pair of doves perch preening on a root. Quite near the bottom, there's a large fan-shaped fungus growing out of a stump, and a hare sits up on its hind legs, gazing over towards Long Water. A baby hare to its right looks down curiously at the tiny snail at its feet. In amongst the animals are fairies, slim female figures around 9 inches tall, in long, flowing, sleeveless dresses. Their delicate wings are slender, like a dragonfly rather than a butterfly, and their long hair is gathered up, some in plaits, some in petal headdresses. Two sit as though emerging from within the stump, legs tucked from under them. They lean one on the other's shoulder, looking down towards a squirrel who perches up on its hind legs, as though in deep conversation with them. Three more fairies form a line, their graceful arms entwined around each other as they spiral up towards the trunk. They lead us up towards another fairy who stands tiptoe on a mushroom, craning up towards the figure high above them. Peter Pan himself is like a giant compared to the fairies, standing about 4 feet tall. A mop of hair framing his round face. He looks confident up there, bestriding his universe with bare legs, his left foot stepping forward quite a long way and his body leaning back. He wears a short tunic with a zigzag hem and petals around the neck and the shoulders. The long leaves are fastened along their length at the back with twine. He holds his right arm out to the side. In his left hand is some kind of instrument, long curved pipes which he puts to his lips. He's looking over the Long Water, but his gaze seems more distant, and we can only imagine what he's thinking. As a child, there's an excitement for magic and for magical things. When I was a little girl, this statue played on that. I suppose secretly we'd all like to be Peter Pan and not to have to grow up. So there's a resonance even now. The statue is like a monument to our nostalgia. And it's quite ordinary. It's not all singing and dancing. It's not interactive in the way that so many things are nowadays. It doesn't do anything, but still, it feels like it must have magical properties. The statue gets a lot of visitors, tourists having their photos taken by it, children exploring its secret nooks and crannies. The bronze surface is mostly dark brown, but gleams gold in patches where little hands have touched it. The head of the tiny snail is particularly bright. It also sometimes is used as a place of remembrance. Peter Pan, the boy who would not grow, has become a focus for grieving parents who hang tokens off it for their child who would have been four.
Out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.